Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think for this week, we need to focus on two specific issues, both related to South Africa. The first is South Africa's inflation data for October, which surprised on the upside with inflation moving up to 5.9%. But I guess at least core inflation still relatively well contained at the midpoint of the inflation target. The second point is the Reserve Bank's interest rate decision to leave interest rates unchanged. It was a unanimous decision, although they clearly are concerned about ongoing risks to the upside in terms of South Africa's inflation outlook. South Africa's inflation rate rose by a substantial 0.9% in the month of October, well ahead of market expectations and certainly high by historical standards. If we break down that 0.9%, a lot of the increase related to the transport sector, and within that, obviously, the fuel price or the petrol price. We knew about that, so I don't think that increase was any surprise. However, some of the other increases did take us by surprise. In particular, food inflation rose substantially in the month, pushing the annual rate of food inflation closer to 9%. In the prior months, we'd seen food inflation dissipate, and we were certainly hopeful that that dissipation would continue on for the remainder of this year and into next year. But clearly, there are some pressure problems within the poultry industry, and we've seen egg prices move up. But we also saw a substantial increase in fruit and vegetable prices, which may be seasonal in nature, but it had the effect of pushing food inflation up considerably. And therefore, that contributed on its own 0.3 of the 0.9% monthly increase. So a substantial contribution from food inflation. If I look at our food inflation forecast for next year, we still expect that food inflation can move back inside the target range during the course of the year. But clearly at the start, there are these concerns about an El Nino effect impacting our weather conditions. The El Nino effect has been shown to be relevant around the world, including within South America, and it can disrupt our weather pattern and cause unseasonally dry conditions, which would obviously aggravate the summer agricultural season and could lead to higher food prices. So it's a risk we need to monitor on an ongoing basis. At this stage, the intention to plant from the farming community is good. In other words, farmers are not being put off by the possibility of an El Nino effect and are going to start the summer season in a positive frame of mind. But obviously, as the season unfolds, that can be disrupted and we can ultimately get some disappointment. The other increase I think that is worth highlighting is hotel inflation. It's not a category we talk about at all. But during the month, hotel prices went up by almost 10% month on month, which is a huge increase. From our perspective, that seems to be largely opportunistic. In other words, there's evidence to show that South Africans are not traveling as much abroad. They're not going on holiday internationally because it's simply too expensive. And that's obviously increasing demand for domestic hotel. And then foreigners are arriving in larger numbers into South Africa, which is doing the same thing. And so it's possible that hotels are using that environment to push through fairly hefty increases. Now, I guess from the hotel perspective, they would argue that this is catch-up, that during the COVID era and for a couple of years after that, they've really been struggling, and now it's time for them to try and re-establish their business on a firmer financial basis. And I think there's merit in that discussion, but it can obviously create some short-term inflationary pressure. So the net effect of all of that was to push South Africa's headline inflation rate up to 5.9%. That's very uncomfortable. It's close to the top end of the target. And clearly, it wouldn't take much to move it above 6% over the coming months. And that would start to change inflation expectations. The good news, I think, is that core inflation remains well behaved. It went up a bit more than expected in the month, rising 0.4%. But I think critically, the annual rate of core inflation actually moderated. It went from 4.5% to 4.4%. So pretty much at the midpoint of the inflation target. And I guess that's what the Reserve Bank is looking at in deciding the outcome for interest rates. So you would say the underlying level of inflation remains reasonably under control. I think that inflation can be contained within the inflation target, although at the upper end of the target for the next 6 to 8 months. But hopefully beyond that, we can see a dissipation of inflationary pressure. And it's very clear that the Reserve Bank is reasonably comfortable with the progress we've made so far on getting inflation back under control. But they keep highlighting that the job isn't done, and that they need to keep interest rates elevated for a considerable time in order to ensure that inflation moves convincingly and sustainably inside the target range. Lastly, I think it's worthwhile to discuss the decision by the Reserve Bank to leave the repo rate unchanged at 8.25%. That was in line with market expectations and also a unanimous decision by the MPC members. I think overall the Reserve Bank feels that interest rates are restrictive enough, and I don't get a sense that they really want to hike rates any further. And that's despite the fact that inflation went up to 5.9%. Instead, I think the Reserve Bank would ideally want to keep interest rates unchanged at the current level into next year, probably to around about the middle of next year, and then start to cut interest rates slowly into 2025, assuming by that stage that inflation is more firmly under control. So I think the Reserve Bank is comfortable with how monetary policy has played out, and I think they would like to create some stability, albeit at a higher level of interest rates. That doesn't mean that the Reserve Bank is being complacent. Instead, I think the Reserve Bank is highlighting some of the upside risks to inflation, and it's worthwhile to have a look at what those risks are so we know where we need to focus our intention in terms of the possibility of interest rates increasing further. The first key risk is geopolitics and the impact that might have on the oil price. And we can see that the Russia-Ukraine crisis or the Israel-Gaza crisis could lead to a disruption to the oil industry, which could ultimately aggravate South Africa's petrol price. And so the Reserve Bank is alert to that risk. Linked to that, I guess, is the domestic fuel price itself, because it's impacted by the exchange rate, and it will also be impacted by any adjustment to the fuel levy. And clearly, during the course of next year, it's entirely feasible that the government decides to increase the fuel levy further. The second area of concern relates to food prices. Now, we've highlighted that previously, but the Reserve Bank is worried about the El Nino effect, and that could drive food prices higher during the course of next year. Instead of food inflation moving sustainably lower inside the target range, we could find food inflation remaining elevated in the order of 8 to 10%. And clearly, given the weight of the CPI within the CPI basket, that would be very unhelpful. So the Reserve Bank will monitor, like everybody else, the El Nino effect and try and understand what that is doing to food production in South Africa. The third area of concern is the impact of fiscal policy. In other words, the government has indicated that they want to maintain fiscal discipline, that they want to effect fiscal consolidation. But the Reserve Bank is highlighting that that's just a promise, right? It's not necessarily that government can achieve that level of fiscal consolidation. And if government finds itself spending more than they estimated during an election year, then clearly that could aggravate the inflation environment. And so the Reserve Bank will monitor to what extent government is actually being disciplined. And then the last area of concern relates to South Africa's logistical industry. In other words, if we look at port capacity, railway capacity, there's huge disruptions going on there, which is effectively creating a supply bottleneck or supply shortage within South Africa. Now, that supply bottleneck could ultimately push prices higher through a cost push effect. In other words, companies find that their cost base has gone up, they can't procure goods in time, and it's adding to ongoing cost pressure in the business community, and that companies may well then feel that they want to pass those price effects on to the consumer. To the extent that they do that, that could lead to further inflationary pressure. So it's clear to me that there are some meaningful risks around. The Reserve Bank, like everybody else, will monitor these risks, try and assess whether or not that is going to lead to a re-acceleration of inflation. I think hopefully not. We expect that inflation will move lower, especially during the second half of next year, allowing for interest rate reductions. But if I look at global economic circumstances, there's no doubt that all central banks are worried about a resurgence of inflation for a variety of reasons and will not let up on the interest rate until they feel the job is done. In other words, until they feel that inflation is sustainably and measurably under control. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.